Early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chumbeli, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chumbeli. And it's that time of the evening that we discuss economics, politics, trade, global affairs, and everything that affect our bread and butter. You know, we expand the conversation beyond the border, and we make sure that we incorporate the context of Namibia and also look what can we do that is within our control, be aware, be informed. And it's not only about giving you statistics and data, but we are also fighting poverty. We are fighting the poverty of the mind, which after we win that battle, then it's easier for us to look at property and industries, because first of all, we need to fight the poverty of the mind, the poverty of mind, which is ignorance, which is lack of focus, and also looking at what need to be done, especially this morning of the 4th of February 2026, looking ahead, and always greeting you and giving you a positive vibe in the morning to say, whenever, by the time you are awake, every day that you are awake, you must be grateful. That is number one. Problems will never end, and that is life. And the writers and thinkers indicate, particularly Sun Tzu, who has been used either in military and also in business war, to say, no, life on itself is a war, but in one war, you cannot, win all the battles. Some battles you must leave them. You know, you cannot respond to anything which is being said to you. That's why the act of being a reactionary is also, must also be rejected, because some people, they disturb your focus. You look ahead and always make sure that you are very picky. Which battle to fight, which one to leave for another day, because there is a lot of responsibilities, but we do not have enough time. The time you understand that you do not have enough time, then maybe it's late, but every day we are telling you to say you do not have enough time, because by the time you are waking up, imagine we have been talking about 2030, but if somebody asks you how many years before 2030, it's not even 5 years. I'm telling people that it's three years, but when you are saying it's three, you're already in February, you understand that we do not have the luxury of time. That's why you must start to do what you can do best. And the dust must be seen everywhere and across the board. And yeah, before we go to what is happening around the world and also in the continent of Africa, you know, one thing you must be able to understand is that, when it comes to your body. Your body is a vehicle that, the only vehicle that you are going to use throughout this journey of life. And understand one thing, that, life, there is no restarting button. If your vehicle does not have, if your vehicle is not in good condition, it's up to you to repair it. It's up to you to make sure that you look for a mechanic. If your vehicle, you must understand how many luggage, how many bags are you putting in your vehicle, what a direction, how many times are you bumping your vehicle, and your body is a vehicle that you are using. Whatever you put inside and whatever you tolerate also determine the miles and distance that you are going to cover, particularly in this journey of life. That's why you have to treat it as your best car, the only car throughout this journey. And there is no restarting button to say, no, I think we need to restart back. I did not put my life in order. Let us go back and restart. There is no restart. You just need to fight with what you have. If your vehicle does not have tires, make sure that you fix them and accept what you can control. If your vehicle is only running at 120 or at 80 kilometers per hour, maintain that speed. Don't go to 120 if you understand that, it's not in good condition. But putting into that perspective or personifying the definition of, your body in this life, you need to understand that you have to treat it as, the best and the only vehicle that you are going to use throughout this journey of life. So let us start with what is happening in the continent of Africa. You know, last night, it was indicated that, starting with the bad news, but that is life. Last night, it was indicated that Saif al-Islam Gaddafi, that is the son of Muammar Gaddafi, was killed in an attack in his residence in Zitan. And his legal team and political advisor confirmed the death. And although there is a need for the Libyan state authority to issue a formal declaration, but it was indicated that the 53-year-old was targeted by four unidentified gunmen and disabled security system before, assault. Saif al-Islam Gaddafi, the son of the late Gaddafi, or the late president of Libya, was shot. That was yesterday, and died. You know, he's one of the guys who suffered with his father. At one point, he was jailed for almost 10 years. Then he was making a political comeback. And there was a point he was planning to come back, maybe to restore his father's legacy. And looking at the history, Colonel Muammar Gaddafi was a respected African leader, not only in terms of contribution to the AU, but also in terms of advocating for independence of Africa. He's a guy who turned a desert country into an industry, and the desert country into a garden, and was one of the richest, strongest African men in terms of leadership and politics. But he was killed by, you know, a terrorist, and was killed by, you know, rebels backed by NATO and other Western countries. That was in 2011. And from there, Libya never returned to peace. It's only the law of a gunman. Libya never returned to peace. And looking at the developmental stage and the ranking, and also the social status, what have been happening in Libya during Gaddafi and after Gaddafi, you'll be able to see a clear difference. Especially when it comes to the social lives. And one mistake of throwing a leader, expecting external support, it was one of the grave mistakes, because if you look at how things are now, it's chaotic. There's no stable government in Libya until now, just like in Iraq. Because if you want to understand that there is no also stable government in Iraq until now, just tell me one day that you have seen a president of Iraq mentioning a statement or an industry which was built in Iraq by the Iraqis, or something that is standing. Maybe the participation of Iraq, maybe in World Cup, maybe in tennis, or maybe in science and technological fame. Because it's like they are erased in the world, in the map of the world, although they are there. But that is what's happening. And will this cause another tension in Libya? Because they stated that the family of Gaddafi still had some influence and also support of some function. And that is what's happening in the northern part of Africa. And sent to eliminate the leader and his lineage too. But now it's a matter of how many children of Gaddafi have left. How many children of Gaddafi have left? And this was one of the eldest, was always with his father. But yeah, that is what's happening. And moving forward, there is other news, you know, in Africa. I don't know now if we are going backward or we are moving forward. You know, it was indicated that in DRC, authorities are calling for people to be calm after a drone attack on an airport. It was stated that the drones targeted strategic airport in the city of Kisangani in the Northern Democratic Republic of Congo over the weekend. Some were shot down, and also some have caused an impact, but no claim of responsibility have been made for a drone attack. But local authorities are accusing M23, that is anti-government group and its ally in Rwanda, of being behind it. And as we are indicating to say, the conflict in Africa is beyond the domestic conflict, because now the government of DRC is under fire. It's under, you know, it's under fire from M23. It's not, they are not only using AK-47, they are not using these old school guns, they are using drones. And understand, in terms of a military drone that can carry, either it's a rocket or that can carry a bomb, you must have a lot of money, and you must have a good supply of military drone. And I'm asking myself to say, do we have a manufacturing of military drones in Africa, and who is supplying these military drones to the M23 or the rebels that are attacking, you know, the government? Because we only have one government in DRC. If not are those who are opposing the government, if not M23, other terrorist groups, but they are using drones, which means that they can pinpoint you. They can, they will not come physically anymore. They are using drones. That is how advanced terrorism is. And you understand that development can also come with the challenges. The same. In the 21st century, rebels are not only the demotivated, you know, the unorganized people in the forest, but these people now, they have advanced technology. They have fully equipped technology, and also understand that, you know, looking at this context, it's quite worrying. It's quite worrying, especially looking at the capabilities of terrorists, and also understand that who is behind this terrorist when they are using, they are at the point of using drones. And the other security analyst, international relation analyst, was analyzing to say, you know, when you look at how these guys are armed, they don't only have drones, they have bulletproofs, they have, you know, vision glasses, and their equipment are so effective, and they are modern. And you are also asking yourself to say, who is supplying these people? Who is behind this, you know, M23 and also other terrorist groups? Sometimes you are just looking at the armed group to say, why jihadist is not going? Why jihadists are still continuing? Who is supplying them? What is the reason behind? Because understand that war is a very expensive business, and there are always those who are benefiting from war and conflict. That's why when conflict comes in a country, you must be able to understand that you think beyond the obvious. When there is a chaotic situation in the country, you think beyond the obvious to say who ought to benefit from this chaos, and why are the people of DRC fighting each other? And to the point of even using drone attacks. And that is so advanced, so sophisticated. And I'm also asking myself, is DRC government having drones too to counter, you know, this terrorist, which are destroying properties and also destroying infrastructure? Because if you look at what is happening, especially looking at the attacking of airports by drones, we don't know how many they have, and where are they made from? And it's concerning. It's concerning. Looking at Sandek, seems like Sandek is very quiet, or maybe it's yet to come when it comes to the situation. So let's look at the short commercial break, then we'll continue the conversation.
Lipura nenge no wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamweli nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeli, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM. The Eye.
We are continuing with the conversation. We are continuing with the conversation, especially looking at global affairs and also continental affairs. Looking at the situation, it's quite important to look at what is happening, especially in developing African countries. It was indicated that looking at Malawi declare polio outbreak, reviving fear of another resurgence. And the Malawian government has declared polio outbreak, bringing fears to another resurgence of the disease since 2022 crisis. And that was stated by the Minister of Health and Sanitation, especially looking at the second wave of polio resurgence. And It's quite concerned because in that aspect, it's further called all Malawians to take the situation seriously and adopt preventative measures, especially in terms of vaccination, and it identified most critical lines of defense. And looking at the polio virus, which is spreading among, the people of Malawi, one should be able to be concerned, especially looking at the history, because in 1996 there were around 70,000 cases of polio alone in Africa and affected developing countries. So let's look at a short commercial break again, then we can move forward.
Choose driving sober over driving intoxicated. Choose to obey speed limits over speeding. Choose to use pedestrian crossings over crossing just anyway. And choose to replace worn out tires over pinching pennies. Choose to do the right thing on our roads and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
That is happening in Malawi. And just for your information, Malawi, compared to other countries, one of the, not to say the poorest countries, but one of the countries that is not financially well, is not financially on standard, although we also have our own problems, but Malawi is not financially on point. They depend much of their budget on donors and assistance from external world, and looking at the changes which is happening globally, you must be able to understand that when it comes to Malawi, they depend on the mercy of the external world. And you are asking yourself to say, what is new that the president, the newly elected president of Malawi, have brought, or it is suffering after suffering? And you also need to understand that once politics and economy is not attached together, and you only have politics alone, people will continue to suffer. Because even them who have power, they do not have enough means to control, then it's very difficult for those countries to develop. Because you remember that the current president of Malawi is the former president of Malawi too. Because at one point, Peter Thamutarik was the head of state. Then people realized to say, no, this guy is not driving the economy properly. He's not moving us toward where we want to get into, particularly in terms of development, and we are going to remove him democratically. Then they remove him. They put in Tate Chakwera, Lazarus Chakwera, to be the president of Malawi. After 5 years, they realized the same things are becoming worse. Let's go. Let's go back to the devil that we know. Then after that, the situations are as they are. And when he was campaigning, he was telling people to say, look, I'm going to negotiate investment. I'm not going to negotiate aid anymore. We are going to capitalize on the resources that we have. But let's see. Maybe it's too early to judge. But is it politics? Is it pure politics without economic attachment? Or we need to combine the politics and the economy? And who own the resources of Malawi? And what are they good at? And what do they have that they can be able to use to turn around their country? Because poverty of one African country should not be only looked at from that perspective, because it must be very clear that when one African country is suffering, that is most likely to cause trouble in another country. Because when we look at the war in DRC, when you look at the flood in Mozambique, when you look at chaos in Libya, and we look at the jihadists in Mozambique and coup in Madagascar, don't only think about other countries. Look at the impact, because the world is so interconnected. And when it comes to Africa, we were one before the borders. We have families across the borders, and we depend on each other. Without that, without stability on the other side of the river, then you are most likely to suffer. And I've seen people were complaining about our friends from our brothers and sisters from Angola, especially when they were flooding our towns. A lot of people were saying, no, these guys must go back to their country. They are identifying our towns and all these things. But you must be able to understand that sometimes migration was the only option, because these people could have died of hunger, could have died of poverty. But just because the neighbor is on the other side, you have to make sure that you go. And that is understandable. But we need to find permanent solutions, especially when it comes to developing Africa. Because it's quite, not to say hypocrisy, because currently people are discussing about critical minerals. People are discussing about advancement in terms of technology. People are discussing about changing the international financial architecture. But we are still discussing about poor medical health. We are still discussing about food, just to eat food. Because remember, in other countries, that is not a concern anymore. People are debating about which food has a high concentration of GMO, which one is organic, and all these things. But food is there. But to us, we are discussing about food insecurity, to say, when are we going to eat? What are we going to eat on Friday? And remember that we are very far from the global conversation. Yes, we want to get into the table. We want to get into the Security Council. But did we get our governance right? Did we get our development right, especially at the basic level? People are discussing about, even the rebels are ahead, they are discussing about the drones. We are still discussing about the basic, to say, when are we going to have, when are you going to be food sustainable? People are discussing about the other critical investment. We are still talking about, when are we going to have our airlines back? When are we going to put our education system in order? When are we going to deal with the basics of unemployment? So we must be able to understand that we may be in the same continent. We might be at the same international institutions. But the challenges that we have, we are still at the basics. We are still at the basics. But that does not mean that they are not going to be solved. But they are not going to be solved if we have a clear plan and also data. Now, looking at Ethiopia, it was stated that Ethiopian Prime Minister accused Eritrea of committing atrocities during Tigray War. And in the latest twist and of fragility in terms of relations between Ethiopia. It seems like, you know, Ethiopia and Eritrea, they are not on, they are on each other's neck. It was stated that Eritrea forces fought alongside the Ethiopian army, against the Tigray People Liberation Front for control of Tigray, which border Eritrea. However, in address to Parliament, Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed for the first time said Eritrean troops had massacred people in Ahuma and elsewhere. And in that context, you must also be able to understand that when Ethiopia is fighting those who wanted to be on their own, especially in the Tigray region, there was also a point where Ethiopian military was accusing Eritrea of supporting these individuals, and that is how hostile the situation is. But let us hope Ethiopia will not get into another war, because that is our headquarter, the headquarter of Africa, the headquarter of you know, African Union, and also the headquarter of Africa. And if there is no peace in Ethiopia, then there will be no peace anyway. And let us not repeat what has happened with SADC, because what happened is that SADC, last year, they were faced with unprecedented events, especially for the first time where the chairperson of SADC got overthrown and had to go and run. They lifted with instrument of power, with all the documents. Where is the agenda? Who is going to continue? And that's why up to now SADC does not have a political chairperson in a full-time capacity, because Andrew Rogerini, just 1 month after he was elected as a political head of SADC, then chaos have started. Especially by Generation Z, to the point that he has to leave Madagascar. And, you know, it's quite important to protect the institutions and also those who are leading institutions, because without order, then that will be the benefit of those who benefit from the chaos, especially when it comes to African continent. And looking at Morocco, seems like climate change impact is hitting. It's 50,000 people are displaced over a severe flood in northern Morocco. And that is the situation that is happening on the other side. But for now, let us look at a short commercial break. Then we'll be able also to look at what the president has said, especially yesterday, when it comes to the opening of the August House, opening of Parliament, opening of the joint Parliament. And also to look at, the conversation for today, particularly looking at, critical minerals, rare earth minerals. And, remember, the Villager newspaper for today is out. The Villager newspaper for today is out. Make sure that you get the time and opportunity to engage with the content and context of, the Villager newspaper, especially when it comes to developmental conversations. So let's look at a short commercial break. Then we continue with Early Morning Scoop. However, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tele ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeje pa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamweli nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafilane Eagle FM the eye
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeli, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
We are moving forward. It's 43 minutes past the hour 6, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And the conversation for today, before we look at that conversation, is quite important to look at the highlight of, yesterday's presentation. Especially by the President of the Republic of Namibia, this Dr. Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, when addressing the joint parliament. It was very beautiful. It was very beautiful. A beautiful scene, especially to look at the resuming of the lawmaking house, and in addressing the parliamentarians, where there was also attendance of former parliamentarians and also former speakers of parliament and also other guests. The president has indicated that when it comes to parliament, there is a very important constitutional duty and constitutional duty to pass the laws and also to look at legislations that are forward-looking and legislation that are addressing national issues. So, coming back shortly after top score.
Eshi wataloka umekwe mbelo, taveli pulanga helipi, ngengo vamo no uya kofikola no 10th gen iPad, ipopo ya dimo shipaketi. Top score instant. Oya itapwe findano talishambula, lo kushuna kofikola, mondo maeveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opo uningo mfindani, wakamweko mo iPad, aveli vahetatu, ovo tavaka findanwa, ilo mano kavaucha ko ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vili mwe dana mibia, oshipu ne ngono, lando kashako oko KG mwe, ele KKG dilimbali, ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshilongo ashishe, ndeto SMS o shicha, instant. Totumu kombali, oneveli vatatu, nombali. Efi afanueli, otali kulumo milongo natu nali mwe amarija mondoma eveja vaino milongo mpani na hamano e mangono malandula fanu odo dino kulandulwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibi Mills.
Yeah, just to look at what the presidency have said, especially when it comes to parliament, Meme Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah has emphasized the important role that parliament has, particularly in lawmaking. And one of the things that she indicated is for parliamentarians to understand that there is high expectation that citizens of Namibia have on them, and indicated and emphasized the aspect of Namibia development, especially looking at job creation, looking at economic growth, and local beneficiation of natural resources, manufacturing, digital economy. And one thing that you can also observe and also see from the speech of the president is that she did not divert anything, and she is not diverting what she stated during her inauguration. Is still in line, is still what she's speaking about, and it's also showing you the priorities and principles to say, this is the direction we are going. especially the aspect of Namibians are too rich, I mean, are too few to be poor. And the issue of local and the issue of economic expansion, local beneficiation, and also job creation, that is priorities. And all the speech, if you look, that is the center of her argument and direction, particularly looking at the duties of lawmaking and also addressing the lawmakers. And we see, and she indicated that other bills are still coming. They are still coming, but must be dealt with as fast as possible, especially looking on the ground that is a law that has to enable the Namibian people to benefit, Namibian people too, to be able also to solve the challenges, because you need a legal framework. You can just operate in vain. You need a legal framework that is directing people. You need a legal framework that you are following in order for you to solve challenges that the country is facing, particularly looking at poverty, looking at unemployment, looking at inequality, and also other challenges. And, you know, looking at this presentation and also see parliamentarians, we are yet to see that we quite have a very different parliament compared to how it has been youthful and diverse. And, you know, I've seen a lot of Namibians and they are saying, no, the parliament now is not how it has been. Diversity is a very good thing when you have different voices, and you see that Namibia, you can see Namibia from different pictures. And we are expecting an intensive debate. We are expecting a robust debate. And people who are up to date, you cannot be asked the question and you are not on top of your game. And I've seen, especially youth parliamentarians, I see that they are quite good and they are on top of their game, especially looking at in terms of answering questions. And that is what we expect across the board, and keeping each other awake, unlike comfortability to that extent that you don't see any uniqueness. But we are very happy to have a bit diverse parliament, and that is democracy. We want that critical engagement from across the board. So, good morning. Good morning, how are you?
Hello.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
No, I'm well.
Can you please transfer me to the office number?
Come again?
Can you please forward my call to the Eagle FM office?
No, you are on air now.
Can you pull me out of air? So I want to call in the office.
Oh, okay. No problem. Just hold on.
Okay.
Lipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwala unongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nene uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarude dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamweli nawa ninge kwa tafanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM.
Yeah, we are continuing the conversation, and you want to call back to, if you want to call to our office number, you can just call 083-288-400, and you'll be able to be connected to the reception. Then we can also communicate with who we want to communicate with, and thank you for interest. And yeah, we are continuing the conversation, especially when it comes to issues of governance and lawmaking. And we are indicating to say expectation, there is high expectation, and there is no more time, especially when it comes to indicating that there's a lot of things that need to be done in Namibia in terms of lawmaking and also implementation, because the law must not only be made for the sake of being made, but the law must be implemented so that we can deal with issues of food security, issues of corruption, issues of accountability. Because the complication of the law, if you want to see that we have a lot of works to do, just look at the High Court and Low Court of Namibia. Look at people suing each other up and down. Then you understand that there is a little bit of ambiguity in terms of how the Namibian laws are operating. Look at the relationship between Tate Sangwasa and the councillors and city administrators. You understand that in some cases, people may be using the same law, but because there are loopholes in that law, people can continue again to use those loopholes to their advantage. That's why there is always commotion. You really find some judgment. A judgment is made, then the judge is following a certain law. Then you understand that, but this is not sounding good. But you realize that to say over and above, it has to do with, the lawmakers to make sure that the Namibian legal framework is in order. And the laws are not only made to serve the people who are there. Because remember, some people can come up with a certain law that is only advantageous for him or her at that point. But the law must be sustainable and can be used for the next 20 years or so. But that is the conversation. So, dear listeners, today, as it has been indicated, we'll speak about critical minerals. We speak about critical minerals. We understand that the world have been going through a lot of transformation, and the world is going through a lot of changes, particularly looking at the interest, looking at the industrialization, to the point where the industrialized, the developed world realized to say no. When it comes to issues of climate change, when it comes to issues that are impacting our health, our environment, our land, air, and also the whole ecosystem, we must look at minerals that do not have a lot of disadvantage. Minerals that are sustainable. Minerals that can be used particularly in the advanced technology. And the technology that is working based on, clean energy, and also that does not pollute air. But interestingly, the world is no more talking about diamond. It's no more just talking about diamond, platinum, and gold, and uranium, but we speak about critical minerals that are needed in the 21st century, and that to be used particularly in the current technologies, either is in building industries, or either is in building equipment, either is in advancing technology, building satellites too, and also new technologies that are used, because technologies continue to evolve, and there is a continuation of discovery, especially when it comes to critical minerals and also rare earth elements. Now, looking at the discussion, how it has been, especially looking at the discussion, how it has been, especially looking at the African context, it has been indicated that for the past 30 years or so, the African continent has not been involved in fair and, balanced trade with the international world, because in most cases, those who trade the minerals from Africa are not Africans. Africa, we just an extraction point. But when our minerals are going to the international market, they are not in our hands. And when they are coming back, they are coming back as finished products. And they are also costing us a lot of money. Imagine you have already a cost of extraction. You have already a cost of labor. On top of that, when somebody is coming to sell you the final product, you are also losing money in that context. However, looking at African Union and also the position of African Union in terms of trading and also looking at the position of the developing countries, it has been indicated that when it comes to critical minerals, and maybe just before we go to critical minerals, maybe just to look at some of the 10 critical minerals and also understand where we are. Then also look at the context of Africa and Namibia in particular. You look at, on top of that, you have lithium, you have cobalt, you have nickel, you have copper, gold, silver, platinum, and rare earth elements. You have graphite and manganese. That is top 10, and the world has interest in that area. And most of these critical minerals are found in the continent of Africa. And also to look at who is in charge of them, who is controlling them, who is trading with them. And just to ask yourself a question to say, when it's coming, for example, to lithium. We have lithium in Namibia. What is the context of lithium in Namibia? Who own lithium production in Namibia? At what level? And also, what is it bringing into our country? And I also look at a very interesting report, and I like local studies. One of economic consultant and also independent economic researcher produced a very interesting report, especially looking at some of the critical minerals in Namibia. And these are unique documents that you will not find anywhere. And I'll be interested to look at that percentage and also how is it going to be, especially looking at moving forward. But interestingly, when it comes to what I have mentioned, especially in terms of critical minerals, you must be able to look at 2050. You must be able to look at the 2050 to say. It's indicated that looking at the Global Critical Minerals Outlook Report of 2025, it has stated that critical minerals such as lithium, cobalt, copper are essential for clean and modern technologies. And looking at global community targeting net zero carbon emission by 2050, it has positioned them as critical. And this position them is going to be one of, the most needed elements, most needed minerals, especially from the developing world, and to contribute to the global GDP. However, the question that is always here is to say, what is new when you are speaking about critical minerals? What is new compared to other minerals that has been there? Who has been controlling 80% of diamond trades in the world? Is not De Beers. Who has been controlling, 80% of copper trade? Are these African companies? Who have been the main investors in this, are these African companies? What is the 2025 African Union Natural Resource Management Governance Report is speaking about only 8% of values ended returned to Africa, especially when it's coming to the sale of minerals and other natural resources. What is African governance report saying about the management? African governance report of 2025 speaking about the management of natural resources, particularly the strength of SOEs that are running those resources. And when we are going to look at this declaration, particularly the G20 declaration on critical minerals, I want you also to look at the recent reports and also the recent documents, particularly the Villager newspaper, when we speak about Namibia being ranked number one in terms of mineral potential. That is the future. If we are speaking about DRC being the richest country in the world in terms of mineral deposits, which calculation is estimation between 25 to 30 trillion US dollars, which is almost or equivalent to the GDP of United States of America. In that context, that is the current. If we are speaking about potential, DRC is at number three. Namibia is at number one in terms of potential, in terms of, you know, future of mining. What is this saying? It's not only about our good laws in terms of mining. It's not only about our uranium, but about what is deposited underground us. It's about where we are going in the future. It's about critical minerals. But the question is that, are we ready to handle them? And a lot of people I've seen, they are speaking about, no, we are still poor, we are not seeing this. The question that we are into us is that, what have we learned from the past and how can we deal with trade moving forward? Especially the trade, the most difficult thing that we lost and we must admit is trade negotiations. It's trade negotiations. And the president is very clear about that, especially when she say, no guys, please, negotiate with poverty mentality should stop. And this is somebody who come from the background of international affairs, somebody who come from the background of diplomacy. She understand. She has been in the room. She understand. And the question is that what is that we're going to do in you looking into the future? Because the discovery in Namibia when it's come to minerals, it must not scare us, but it must give us conscience to be, you know, to be very careful on what we are going to do moving into the future. Now, let us look at, let's look at the caller, because this is, you know, it's a conversational program. It's not the lecture hall. It's a conversational program that, not the lecture hall that, it's only the teacher, the lecturer or the professor who's speaking, but, we get ideas, from the public too. Especially looking at the conversation for today. Good morning.
Jombe.
Yeah.
I think good morning. I think sometimes we are also misleading. Maybe Africa is just rich in terms of natural resources, in terms of like geographical location, like to say there are minerals here.
Mm.
No? But but the thing is to say now, who discovered them now? Who extracted them? It's not us.
I hear you.
You see? Because the constitution will say everything, all the natural resources and water belong to the king.
Underground, above, and that in. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Because I think that's where the discussion needs to start now.
I think we are on the right point there. Who discovered them? Do you know that you can discover something? Then I say no, leave it. This is because those are two different things. You can discover something. Then I say okay, we understand. You end there. We are not saying start with the process. You can discover that we have maybe another oil somewhere, or we have now cobalt. Yeah.
Because we are also misleading when you are saying, I know, I've just said the position of extraction. It's not us who are extracting them.
I know we at extraction, we are there with 15%. You did not see.
Because, let's just be frank and clear.
Yeah.
Number one, we are not the one to discover. Number two, we are not the one who extract them. Number two, we are not the one who is selling them. Because they are not ours. Because the owner, who is the one who is extracting them, is the one who is sending them to the market. To the global market.
I hear you. Now.
What is there is to say the model is the tax model, which is there now. What government is taking is the tax. And import and export duties. Yeah.
But remember, there was I think in exploration. I remember there was a time I was interviewing Meme Kroneria when she was a deputy minister of mines. When I think it's Xinfeng, when there was this thing of lithium. They were exploring. Then after, just, they were given that license to explore, but in that process they started mining. Then people discovered that, hey, stop. Then they were called to order. But in that process we realized to say in exploration of the mining sites, you also have contractors that are Namibians. And I remember in that case, we have Namibians have 15% in that exploration. But my question is that did they understand what was happening?
Look, my dear, let's just be frank. Even if because the issue is to say is a tax model, which is the government. I said the other time to say, look, the government is not a participant there in some of the things. They are just like what for them they are revenue just through tax, irrespective of whoever is participating.
But are we not changing that now?
Changing it from where? How?
No, I'm just asking.
We are not seeing it because here in Namibia we don't have really big companies that are doing mining. Then you have apparently a Pangero mine, and I have one to say, look, my dear, the government must, if they really want to leverage, they just need to go back, just to understand the state, the government is not part of the market in terms of the demand and supply. No. They just need to put law there. Yeah? Now when you create a Pangero mine, it is going to compete with who? Because the international political economy doesn't want it like that.
We are mixed economy, right?
No. Look, we have been a mixed economy beginning, even before the white came here. Let us be frank. Let us not tell us things that we know.
Okay.
When we have been in none of there, people have their own individual. Yeah, you have your own cattle, you have your own field, you have your own, But it's common thing, like a tare, SDR. You know, like that, on Longa, Erunbu, it has been for the public. Now you wanted to tell us to say these things of mixed economy just came with these people. No, we don't want that teaching. Order now. We are order.
Okay. Now, because we are looking at what do we need to learn? Because we need to learn a lesson. Because at the negotiation table, we have lost that one. We have admitted, even though we have negotiated, not looking at long term. We have negotiated with poverty mentality long time ago, but now we have realized what can we do moving forward? Because discovery in Namibia is not ending. Not only in Namibia, even in other part of the world.
The other problem is here, because you know that the constitution grant right and deny all the rights.
Explain to me.
The constitution deny all the rights and grant you all the rights. Because it says, all the natural resources belong to the state. Ne?
Yeah.
Then if it is like that, how come now the state has nothing there? Namibian state has nothing in those mining that you are talking about.
It's also who we're negotiating. It's not because you are negotiating because you have resources, but those guys, they pull you to pulling you to zero. Yeah.
Because there's no guideline. There's no guideline.
But I remember you spoke about that once, to say there's no negotiation guideline, but I think there is. It's only that we don't have, maybe it's not within the public. I think there is a negotiation guideline. It can be. But the important thing that you spoke about is also the threshold, but I think I need to ask somebody on that. I need to really to ask.
That is where the problem is. If the guideline is there.
Yeah.
Why we are, because sometimes I know, some of the things are supposed to be classified because in terms of diplomacy,
like
it's supposed not to be known. But the reality on the ground now is telling otherwise to say, no, there's nothing. Because if there was anything like that, then we are not using it. That thing under the carpet.
So it's let us ask questions to say sometimes, even if we are not supposed to know it, it's like there's nothing that is guiding us.
Look, because some things are not written, but the reality will tell you on the ground. Because the Constitution is very clear, because it grants you rights. But in this case, you say, no, the Constitution denies all the rights. Because we are not realizing the Constitution, we are not trying to say, like, we are not live to the expectation and the aspiration of expressed in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because it belongs. It belongs, which means it's for the Namibians. When you are negotiating, which means ownership now, must go to the state.
No, the question is now here to say, when you are negotiating, are you negotiating for your own benefit or are you really negotiating on behalf of the state? Because some people, they go there in the name of the state and they negotiate for themselves.
I will tell you, the Constitution says it belongs to the state.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? It's a straightforward question. The natural resources belong to the state.
No, we are together. I'm saying some people, maybe they forget that then when they enter the boardroom.
You cannot forget because you are going there on the ticket of the state.
That is the thing.
That's why I said, even being a business like Namibian, between Namibian in terms of mining or natural resources, if you have to live to the expectation of the state, of the Constitution, it says you must not get more than the state. That's what it means.
And the one thing, when we are there, there's something which I have asked one day to say, man, was there any time that I heard that we rejected a certain deal? Because in most cases, what you see that, no, we signed this agreement, is a win-win situation. Man, then you're asking yourself to say, when was the time that we really say, no, this one, we are putting it on hold, or we are going to think about it?
You know, when I always mention the things of treason,
hold on.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM. Let's.
Yeah?
Because there are two words that are important for the state. Sovereignty.
And what?
When you cannot safeguard the sovereignty of the state, that is the ownership now. You are doing what? You are committing a treason.
Yeah, you are compromising the well-being of the state.
That's a treason. If you cannot just safeguard, then you take, you take that off.
Yeah.
That is a treason.
You
see? But in a way, that reason we thought, treason is when somebody wants maybe to overcome the government by force, using military. That's the only way in Namibian context we understand treason. But treason is not like that. It's more than that.
And you are correct, because if you look at what's happening in China, whether you are high-ranking officials, if you have done something against your oath, in most cases, the punishment there. You celebrate when you are given life imprisonment. It's a victory to you when you are given life imprisonment, because there is death, corruption, using all those things.
But in there now, there was a time the president mentioned to say something about treason.
He said corruption is treason.
What happened? Those were just words. Because in Namibia, we are at the point where Kapuna, Mwalita, Mbungwa, nobody is going to, there's no referee here. Because the referee also is a player. That's the problem. The referee, he becomes also a player.
Now, what do you mean and what do we need to do?
Because, just take, for instance, the issue of Sankwasa now.
Yeah.
No, he's pushing for efficient governance.
Yeah.
But you know there are also dark forces that are pulling him down again. You understand? They try to dig everything to see. And people take it lightly when Professor Mbanda said, no, fighting corruption is also fighting you back.
Yeah, I think where was those cases before he was a minister?
Those are the issues now.
No, it's really something that we need to ask to say why you did not get an opportunity to attack a person. You mean you had the case standing waiting for that person to move, or it was just a timing?
Now to say if those guys, the dark forces, they managed now to try to put Ampanda down now. Who has nothing? Who did nothing? What about you now? Those ones. It comes to a level to say, which is mean now, our leaders, they are under pressure. There could be no leaders in this country who are going to put in for efficient government. Why? Because they are also scared of their past. And these people, they are eligible to be elected or to be appointed. They are referees. You know, when you become a minister or director, whatever, you are a referee now. Because you have to safeguard the public values now.
Oh, I see.
Because when you have, it's a time for you to referee. People, they are reminding you of the past. They say, you are living in the glass house, so don't throw stones.
And the question is also like
how
this.
Many, how many of them are in that category now?
And sometimes you just see somebody just quiet or they are trending careful and you're asking yourself to say, speak, engage. And people are just, man, why things are moving this way? Because, you know, yesterday I was speaking about, I think it's when we have some MP, and to us to say sometimes we must give these people wings so they can fly. Because these things of caucusing, or maybe a guideline is good, but sometimes MP can just finish parliament without hearing the person's voice. Some people, we don't even know them, that they speak.
And for me, there was a time, this is the joke that the people always, you know, there was, when the president for Anna Parker came in, then he introduced the anti-corruption commission. The same time also, the issue of JFF and what also came. I think there was kind of commission inquiry or whatever. Apparently now the president to see the list of the beneficiary of that nonsense. The one person just sitting next to him. So it's when he realized, no. but you know, and this one will link you to what Epstein fight. You know, the other time when you asked me about it, I heard it about it, but I didn't follow about it. But now I understand. Did you understand how the Epstein file is now?
It's big meeting.
Everybody is involved. Even in the president and the former president of the business, all the people. Now, where are we going to start? Now, when you have now surpass them now they have to be reminded. To say you also did this, you also did this, therefore you can't say this. That's where we are now. Now we are saying, if we have to keep the last defense now of the public, what happens to the ordinary ground on the what?
But you know, if you are cleaning the house and you also need to be clean, then the broom will not work on its own.
That's the point.
Do you understand what I mean? Yeah.
We are not to say that. We want to maybe to defend the Minister of us or something. But the thing is, there is element there that we need to learn from it. To say, like, if anybody's compromised, which means nobody's going to speak. And these people are eligible for what now? For appointment and to be elected. But the public there, they have higher expectations to say, look, this person is going to do ABC. That's for the person to come there to be held hostage by his family.
Mm-hmm. But you know, yeah.
Leaders, they have been held hostage by their own past wrongdoing. If you were to say, ne? Because if I know, you cannot say people must pay you while you also owe. But this has been there. Ne?
Yeah.
Even the issue of the teeth is there. You do your work. Because I didn't say you must not do your work. But some of the things you can say, though, there is, even if there is the element of witch hunting, you could also see that there are leaders who have been held hostage. The same way Epson, you know?
And the hunter will also be hunted.
The hunter become hunted.
No, look, I think this is something that is really needed discussion, especially when it's coming to governance, to say, we are going back to the old days, but politics change, the old days politics where everybody has a table and another person and all these things. But if we are really serious about, development, why do we have to go on each other's back and stab each other and all these things? Because one researcher, I think, was speaking on air to say why the case of, you know, you remember there was a certain minister who was appointed. Just after that, we see things are coming up. But you're asking yourself, where was this case before?
Yeah, because that is where now the mathematics is.
Yeah, to see. Yeah.
If that was correct, because the public want to stop, even before he ascend to power,
he can ascend.
But when the person is already there, and he start working, you say, you also did this and this. It's okay, but if you have to investigate, it's just leaders, they have been held hostage. By what? By their past.
Mm-hmm.
The person who is running the country, it's not really the ministers and what, no. There is a dark force there, the invisible hand. That is what it, even if you are saying it's an invisible hand.
Yeah.
It's not invisible because we know there is a hand. Only that is invisible. Let's find out who is that person.
But now if there is an invisible hand now, looking into the future, what is that now? Because everybody has a past. There is always, because it's life, you have a past, but I'm not saying everybody committed a crime. But now, let us look at the future now, because we are looking at the Namibia that we want 2030. Apart from all these things, where do we start? You are a scholar of governance. What do you think need to be done?
What we need to do, first we just need to understand and differentiate the state and government.
Yeah.
I said it many times.
Yeah.
Because it's not the government. Government is administration of a day. Run for 5 years, that gets the contract for 5 years. And after years, it goes. Even the president come in, even the minister, they all come in for 5 years, they go. The state remains.
Yeah.
The state remains. So then now, if there is no difference between the state and the government now, that will make it wrong. And this thing so to say, no, the president is the head of the state and the head of government, it must not work. We need to be, we need the check and balance. The state is not a singular. You understand? AFO doesn't have a head of state. It has head of a state and head of institution. Because the president is a head of government. Let's agree. But he can never be the head of the state. You mean now the president is the head of also media, because the media is also for the state. You mean now the president is also head of...
Is it the naming or the function?
Look, even the implication is to say, when the president is the head of the state, he ends on the recommendation of other what appoints, ACC, ombudsman, or Kusaje, or what?
Mm.
But see, you cannot, there's no independence, there's no separation of power. Because the state must be totally different thing there, doing their own business. Then they can hold the president accountable. Now, when you have... When you have a situation whereby the cabinet is made up of the people from parliament, because everybody wanted to be appointed by the president to be a minister, to be a cabinet president. You cannot bite the hand that feeds you. Let's just be frank and clear.
Mm-hmm. And I think somebody gave a clear debate there to say the parliament was supposed to hold the executive accountable.
Look, the thing was supposed to be like that. The public elect the president and elect the parliament. The cabinet was not supposed to be part of that. And that is what the Constitution said. The Constitution need to be amended.
So you want us to be like South Africa, where parliament is the one which is electing the president? Or what do you mean?
Look, the thing is to say, we can elect the president and also parliament. But I'm saying, the president cannot appoint members, cabinet ministers, and from parliament. Mm-mm. Because that is double dipping. Because when the laws are made, or in parliament, you are also defending in cabinet. It cannot work like that. It cannot work like that because that independence must be there.
So they might just come on invitation to answer questions. So.
Let me say, for instance, if the parliament want to hold the president accountable. What is the minister? The what is going to do is just going to dissolve the cabinet. Who wanted now to be dissolved? Because it's about remuneration here.
Okay.
Yeah, because we are saying the president, you are just
hold on.
The future is calling. Are you ready to answer?
Applications for NAS 2026 are still open, offering you new exciting programs designed for tomorrow's world.
Step into innovation with the Bachelor of Artificial Intelligence. Advance your expertise with Data Science Honours. Protect the digital world through information security or uncover the truth with Digital Forensics Honours.
And for the visionary leaders and researchers, NAST offers a PhD in Management Sciences and a PhD in Supply Chain Management.
Here's the best part. The government-subsidized tertiary funding model enables eligible first-time undergraduate students to register for primary undergraduate programs without paying registration fees. The government-subsidized tertiary funding model enables eligible first-time undergraduate students to register for primary undergraduate programs without paying registration fees.
That means free tuition for first-time undergraduate students in Namibia.
This is your chance to study at a world-class university, gain future-ready skills, and invest in your success without the burden of tuition fees.
Applications to the Namibia University of Science and Technology are closing soon. Apply now and take the next step in your academic journey. For more information, visit our official website and follow us on our social media platforms. NAST, reinventing the future.
Okay.
The early birds catches the worms.
Yes, in summary.
Let me just to conclude.
Yeah.
I think we have learned a lesson. Because the issue of fish rod would have already teach us a lesson to say, look, this mathematics is not work.
Yeah.
Esau went in. They went in to change the law. Not Esau. They went in to amend the law to give the minister the power. Then they got defended. They go ahead from there. They give themselves fishing quotas. Now, in that case, now who is going to hold each other accountable? So, who is the party does not want to recall the president or those people? The parliament, the president cannot because he's also beneficial. Like his look, this is where the problem to say now. What is going to happen Who's going to hold the government accountable when it's going astray against the state?
Okay, thank you.
Because the victim is the state, especially the people. But we are saying, who's going now to hold the government accountable when it's going astray? When the government is not upholding the sovereignty of the state, who's going to hold it accountable?
All right.
Under those circumstances.
Thank you. Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. That is a conversation. It's a critical conversation, particularly when it's coming to governance structure, when it's coming to the state and the government. And a lot of people do not know the difference between the state and the government. And just saying it's one thing. And that's why things become so complicated to say who is the state, who is the government, who is there forever, and who is there temporarily. And what does it mean when you are speaking about the state and government? And in terms of management of resources, if you are saying everything belongs to the state, what does it mean? Does it mean it belongs to somebody? No, it belongs to everybody. Where the people are, the geographical area, the borders, and also the institutions of the state. That's why the thinkers are indicating to say the state remains. It's a natural thing. The state can remain. But government can come and go. People can come and go. But the state has been there. And looking at that difference, looking at the institution, maybe it will be easier for us to understand when we are saying you are the agent of the state, you are representing the state wherever you go. And it's your responsibility to make sure that you are defending your state. And a lot of people are praising our citizen, the ruler there on Twitter. So she said, no, we cannot be bullied, and we have to defend Namibia by all means, especially when it comes to the image of the country, in terms of tourism attraction, and also in terms of development. To say, no, when it comes to Namibia, it's the responsibility of everybody. And in other countries, it's quite wrong to speak bad about your country, because it's your duty to make sure that you protect and you defend your country. And with everybody who is there. So we are looking at critical minerals, but 34 minutes past the hour of 7, let us look at the G20 declaration. You know, in 2025, when South Africa hosted G20, the position of G20 and AU is included, especially the developing world, on harnessing critical minerals for inclusive growth and sustainable development. And that declaration, if you look at number 31, it stated that we recognize that as the world economy is undergoing significant change, including sustainable transition, rapid digitalization, and industrial innovation, the demand for critical minerals will increase. That means the demand of lithium, the demand of copper, demand of cobalt, the demand of manganese, and other critical minerals, not gold. Not the diamond, not uranium, but critical minerals. And in that context, G20 has also indicated that they have developed a framework, which is a voluntary framework, which is designed to respond to the urgent need of international cooperation, transparency, resilience, and also use critical minerals to industrialize and also develop those countries. On top of that, what is also stated that what is also different from others is that it's a preservation of sovereign rights of mineral and endowed countries to harness their endowment for inclusive economic growth. In other terms, to say this declaration represent the respect of those countries who own those critical minerals to use them for their economic benefits, not only to trade them but to use them for their economic benefit. And this declaration, I think it's also in line with where we are going as a country, because it's also stated that critical minerals should become a catalyst for value addition and broader based development rather than just raw materials. That is now the point of looking at the new emerging minerals that are used in advanced technology. Because we are in the world where people are using drones, they are using robotics, they are using different machines, EVs, the EV, the electrical vehicles, they are being made of different elements that are environmental friendly and that also possess less danger to the environment. However, the declaration of G20 stated that, you know, these critical minerals should be advance or value should be added to them so that they can benefit those countries. It means that if Namibia has lithium, it should not be exported before it's processed and used. If it's used for batteries here, it must be done here. That's a declaration of G20. Now, compare the declaration of G20 in terms of critical minerals then with what has been stated at AU-EU summit. Then you understand where we are going as a country. I mean, also as a continent where AU position was very clear to say, it's now the time that Africa is no more to sell raw material. It's coming to an end. But when you see what the chairperson of AU commission have stated with what the EU president has mentioned, EU commission president has mentioned, they are a bit on different ways. They're a bit parallel, a bit contradictory, because when you look at those speeches, the president of EU commission is saying, no, we are the main trading partner of Africa. We have developed Robito Corridor. We are continuing to advancing Robito Corridor. And we are putting billions and billions of money into this investment. But ask yourself, is this a real investment? Is this in line with what was discussed 2 days before that event? Is it real investment? Because if you look at those investments, they are very strategic. Investment in Robito Corridor is investment to allow African products, African minerals to be sold at an international international market. But for how long are the African minerals been sold on international markets? Did they add value to those minerals? Are they being sold at the same price? You want to tell me that diamond which is coming from Botswana being sold in the international market is the same diamond which is coming from Russia to be sold in the international market? Do they have the same price? I don't think so. Uranium which is being sold from Namibia, is it this, and Canada being the second highest uranium producer, are we selling at the same price? Why, if we are selling at the same price, is the development of Canada the same as development of Namibia, although we are not coming from the same background? But it's what it is, and we need to look into that. Good morning.
Morning, David. How are you?
I'm good. How you say?
Good.
Yes, now there is equitable distribution of time, right?
Oh, did you talk about that one?
No. You advised me last week.
How is your morning? No, thank God. It's also important. Don't deprive them their rights and all these things.
Now we are balancing.
You will be accused of what we were talking about, this, you know, this constitutionalism.
Yeah.
And then you say, independent, But when you look at our constitution, the constitutionalism.
Yeah.
And then you look at the separation of power. That makes our constitution to be more vibrant. And I think, I think it's important to, sorry, my brother.
Okay.
I think the weather is becoming harsh here.
I hear you.
I need to be protected.
Okay.
So, see, when you look at our constitution, And those are fundamental values that we see. You see the separation of power. So when it comes to executive, legislation, and all judicial, you see, of course, even though they are independent, they must complement each other.
Okay.
And that aspect should be understood very well. There's no way if there is an independent, you see, because even if the executive, maybe you appoint this other one, you appoint this other one, then who is going to appoint them?
Come again?
Let's say the judge, even though the judicial, the executive, and the legislature are independent on their own, as they function, they must complement each other, isn't it? Or if there is an issue of one colliding with another, maybe that issue needs to be looked at. But in principle and in practice, those things are independent. Those branches of the government are independent.
Are they checking each other? Is there check and balance?
There's check and balance there. They check and balance. If there is one that is stepping on each other, on one another, without the clear line of demarcation, then maybe that's where we need to question. But so far, because from the lay person like me, I haven't discovered that. I haven't observed that as yet. So, and it's just like when they were talking about, the children of the president, the children of the politician. I don't know whether there is a clause that says, yes, when you are of this higher position, your children should not benefit from the, like any other child who is benefiting from the resources of the country. Or are they now being discriminated? The benefit in that, there is some kind of dual influence, perhaps, then I will understand that, yes, there are some kind of influence there, and the interference of this thing and things like that. But if the children are...
Boy, Shoprite, ekutone kwa chitaru kwa kukupitropo, unaurimo, kumbwe, ukene, oturakefe muyanuari, uino shironga, miipumbi wangashi, epa kitajo makinigo, right brand, long life, oditere imugeri mwa kamano, kodure sire nolongo no weino, sendo mirongo weino wei, okei jintano dhoru isiru wa king, rwa furuke tata, kodoro mirongo hit, atuno weino, sendo mirongo weino wei, tani rapkano, Shoprite, po bepirango e, dere pikusa januari, no fandisa zingi, ziriko, sigo kaketa tuka februari, Novo Shoprite kondando di pevi to vuroku ine kraruhe.
Yeah,
what I was saying is that does it now mean that our children, so if I was working in the Ministry of Gender or any other institution, or wherever you are working, and your children shouldn't apply there if they are qualified, they are competent, they should not apply because you are just there. You are working there.
No, it's a good question.
So I think we need to separate some of these issues and they understand that, yes, they are also accorded equal rights, provided there are no due influence and things like that or manipulation in terms of the process.
Yeah.
Then why should you worry about my children getting a job with the Ministry of Gender?
I hear you. They
call it this one that we are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think our country is strategically positioned.
Mm-hmm.
They were also talking about Namibia becoming, in fact, it has become a logistic hub already.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at Zambia, you look at Zimbabwe, most of those countries do not have the ports.
Mm-hmm.
So we have offered them the land. The land port. How do they call it? So to facilitate the movement of the goods.
Mm.
So that corridor is very important.
except where, you know, maybe if the people are not negotiating.
Are you really building a corridor, or you are just building a getaway so you can take my resources? Are you presenting that in my favor? Why can't you build an industry?
Where you can, the industry, because that corridor is not only to ship out things, income, you know, those that are coming inside, isn't it? But where you know that, yes, here you are not benefiting, maybe you just need to strengthen your negotiation process or the capability there. Because it's now up to you, like you said, you can negotiate in good faith, but also negotiate that, yes, you are going to benefit maximally. So if you are negotiating on the periphery and you know that you are not getting the maximum benefit, so the watchdog around here, maybe they need to come in and say, you are failed in terms of our beneficiation. So I think that's the only thing that you need to do. But otherwise, the infrastructure that are being created is actually to allow you to get more benefits. Especially Namibia, for example. If it's going to be a logistic hub, so it means that
Why do you want to be a logistic hub instead of being an industrial hub?
Yeah, let's see. I think that is also in the process. I've been hearing much of the creation of industry, and that will also, I think, facilitate to the creation of an industrial hub.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome.
All right. Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And just to quick look at the Villager newspaper for today. And when you look on top of the page of the Villager newspaper, it is it's indicated that the government of Namibia have borrowed over 8 billion Namibian dollars from domestic market in the past 7 months. To me, that is a positive thing, borrowing domestically in Namibian dollars, rather than go and pick up some board somewhere. But issues of development stated that the government has cumulatively borrowed a total of 140 billion from domestic lenders, investors, as at the end of January 2026. The Bank of Namibia domestic debt update show. And this represents an increase of more than 8 billion from June 2025, with the second quarter central bank report showing domestic debts stood at 141.2 billion. These are domestic debts. And domestic debts as percentage of GDP now stands at 53.4% as of the end of January 2026. Get time, read more on the Villager newspaper, particularly page 1 to page 2. And that is an article by Hinamina Varihangara. And looking at the page 2 again, Namibia top Africa mining potential list. Get time, especially when you speak about critical minerals and also what is being stated, and looking at that context, especially to also see, to say, apart from diamond, copper, gold, and lithium, what other things a country like Namibia has, and get time and read that aspect. Yeah, Rundu communities lack basic infrastructure post-independence. And the Rundu continue to suffer in terms of lacking of basic infrastructure. And go deep and read an article, especially by my colleague in the field of Kavango East and West there, Nanakreta Haikera, especially looking at development in Rundu. And also get opportunity and read particularly what people are going through. If you are a policymaker on that side, at least don't just read for the sake of reading. And don't just read to say people are reporting negative things, but go and listen to what people are saying, so that is the only way that you can be able to drive a development. Sometimes you don't need to bring people food. You just need to give advice to say, this is where you need to go. Because in most cases, we think when a person is complaining, we must give them something. Sometimes I just need advice. I may be stuck somewhere, then I'm crying, poverty, poverty. But I just need one advice to say, David, there's a developmental program there that you can go to. Or the education now is subsidized, you can go to school. Or now there is a certain job this which is in this industry. Or you can invest in this mine. As such information. And that's why when you are fighting poverty, we are fighting the poverty of the mind too. And looking at page 5, you look at local contributors to global showcase. Look at the case of iShow Speed. And also what Namibians, especially content creators and also influencers are saying in this context. Looking at page 6, you see industrial briefs, Old Mutual Foundation to host youth in Damba in the north. And you also have women are central to building a future proof workforce. And Ehomba welcomes second community tower. And that is internet. That is connectivity. I see the picture of Minister of Information here, Matthew Felles. I'm also seeing the picture of Governor of Kunene. And also some of the leaders here. But, you know, it's development, infrastructure development, that is what is needed. Especially that side of Kunene region. And that is what is happening. So, looking at an opinionated article by Dr. Jani Zaiman, that is indicated that AI-enabled tech is Africa growth catalyst if the continent can overcome challenges. To say AI, artificial intelligence, and artificial intelligence is a catalyst to Africa growth. And it must be very clear. It must be very clear, especially when you look at Africa, to say, for Africa to develop, we need a different strategy. We are not going to develop. And we must agree that if we continue to follow the process that Europe used to develop, US used to develop, China used to develop, we are not going to work. Maybe it's now the right time to use what is there. Maybe we can fasten our process using artificial intelligence and advanced technology in terms of development. So that is it from the Villager newspaper. And you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083, 288-401. And looking at that context, there is something, you know, when you listen to what is happening, especially regarding what has been happening in politics, and we've seen the response, and also we see some our colleagues are presenting things, especially regarding the presidency and all these things. And some can use their opinion and judgment to indicate, to say, you know, sometimes we must apply cautiousness. Sometimes we must also have time and also handle situation properly. And there is one thing that I think Mike will expand on this because he's from that area of psychology. There's something that is called psychological biasness. And looking at psychological biasness, there was a time I was making jokes with Helmut to say, you know, if you see a black person, and it's for the joke, né? Black person jogging, either it's Osbrick, Crane Window, you know, and a bit of upper town jogging, just jogging, this person is most likely to be stopped by the police. To say, no, why he's joking, maybe he stole something or what. Just a black person, and it's called psychological biasness. Maybe a person stole something or he's just joking. But if you see some our white colleagues just jogging, maybe he's the one who stole something or with a bag on top, with a backpack, jogging. They will not bother to You're not bothered to stop the person. Maybe he's a real criminal. But it's psychological biasness to say we are most likely to, just because I'm strong, that means that I do not have, that means that I do not have certain weakness. Just because I'm weak, that means that I do not have certain strength. That's why in our judgment, and there's this public fights, why can't we find a solution? This public fight, and we enter into battles that we do not know. But before we come and judge it, at least let us also look at to say, am I rational in making this judgment? Because looking at psychological biasness, is indicated to say it's a biasness that is systemic and is often unconscious. And these are errors in thinking that distort perception and judgment, causing individual to divert from rational and objective reality. That's why there's one thing that friends told me, that you know, sometimes when you are angry, do not rush to take actions, because every action that you are taking when you are angry or too excited is not a right action, because you are operating on an emotional ground now. But yeah, it's something that we should continue learning, either in public or private space, and also to see that do I say this just because I hate a person, or do I do this just because I love a person? Is what I'm saying really, necessary at this point in time, or is what I'm saying really factual? Or how is my judgment? Just to look at yourself and also analyze an example which I gave to say, a black guy in Crane Coupe, I'm just coming from his house and a backpack and jogging. The police is most likely to say, hey, stop. Let me check what is inside there. Where are you coming from and where are you going? But let me say, somebody with a different color just go there and steal something and start running. He's most likely to survive, maybe running with a bag full of money until town without being stopped by a police. It's psychological biasness, and we must be careful with it, because it also assists us when we discover it. It also assists us to make decisions when we are looking into the future, either in our personal life or also in public. Because sometimes you are looking at something, and because of your past experience, you jump to the conclusion to say it's complete, it's what it is. It's what it is. But if you just think back and say, could it be that there are other, truth into this thing? And it's very difficult to find truth about the truth. And thank you. We are going to leave you in the good hands of the Big Mic to unpack the day. And from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around, and shap-shap.